I was thinking about state visits. We've just had one recently, haven't we? State visit, can anyone remember that far back? Yes, we have? Yes, who was it then? Yes, we had the American president, didn't we? And when I was thinking about it, I thought, all these foreign heads of state, when they're coming for a proper state visit, there's so much time, so much money invested in preparing for these visits. And I just thought, it's ridiculous and it's unbelievable, because several weeks before these heads of state come along, they send a team of specialists, security specialists, and so they visit, they look at the routes where this president will be driving across, and they'll carry out some sort of an assessment, a risk assessment, and make recommendations on which roads would have to be closed a week before. A colleague of mine, she used to go see somebody up down towards the American embassy, and a week before the president came, that route was closed for security reasons. And you think, this is madness. And you often wonder to yourself, don't they think we can look after this president? Or is it some diplomatic protocol? After all, we've got the Queen of England and our own government that we look after. And we do that quite well, don't we? Well, I think we do anyway, because we haven't had any problems. And I started thinking, what would happen if Kim Jong-un was coming for a state visit? They'll probably close the whole of London. But never mind, that's a story for another day. In the Gospels, Jesus also sent some of his followers to go before him too, but not for the same reasons. They're not going for security reasons. And when Jesus went, there was no pomps and ceremony, which, by the way, I like that bit. You know, it's only that bit I like, to see all the nice, beautiful carriages. But that's not why Jesus sent his followers. Jesus sent his followers to go and start talking to them about God's kingdom. And of course, Jesus is not here with us today, but he still sends us out there to go and talk to people about God's kingdom. What do you think our usual responses would be when we say, oh, you've got to go and talk about Jesus? And funny enough, I was sitting in the library, I think about 3 weeks ago, because I'd been to see my, well, I had an appointment with a doctor and I got there quite early, and the library is just next room. So I went in and sat there. And there was this young boy, there must have been probably around secondary school age. And he was the only Christian there. I was sitting on that table. And they said, oh, so you're a Christian? He said, yes, yes. And they said, what does that mean? He said, my parents take me to church on Sunday. And then my ears perked up, and I thought, I wonder what they're going to ask some more questions, but they didn't. And they just left it there. But, you know, that was his way of letting them know that there is somebody else besides whoever the others were worshiping. My parents take me to church on Sunday to worship God. I thought that was good. But our response is usually, and correct me, no, actually, maybe tell me what you think our response is. If they say it's time to go and talk about Jesus somewhere, are we all going to say, happy, 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 I'm going? Responses, what do you think we might have to say? That I'm not good enough, is it one of them? That I can't talk? That I'm only a tiny little person, and what I say is not relevant, or that I'm not important, and there are important people there who can talk about God. Yeah? That's some of the reasons we'll use, isn't it? And then I got this picture of a clock on the back of it. Can you all see? Oh, I come down. I've got two pictures here. Clock face and the back. Which one? one do you think is the most important part of the clock? This the smile, yes, yes, yes. Okay, Rosemary said the back bit, and you're really smiling. Anything else? But who, one of these would probably stand out and said, I am the most important. Who do you think would say that? The back. But nobody would see the back, would we? Because when you look at your clock, all you see is the front. So I was thinking that maybe the hands might say, I'm the most important. Because it doesn't matter which language you speak, which country you're in, when you look at that clock, what are you looking at? The hands, isn't it? You're looking at the hands. So the hands might say, I'm pretty important. Without me, you can't tell the time. And then the back will say, hold on a minute. We've got all these springs, wires, tiny wheels. It's quite complex, really. You know, it's amazing how these things look. And they say, well, if you say you're important, if we stop working, you stop being important as well. So in the end, they will have to agree that they're equally important. This one is important because this one is at the back doing the job. So of course, God needs to have some people who are important, like the leaders of our churches, you know, people at the top there, so that they can talk about peace, justice in the world, poverty in the world. Yeah, you have those people there, heads of the churches. And then you have people like the Bible scholars as well. They have to read the Bible and then write commentaries for us to be able to understand it. If not, I won't be able to understand it. So you've got to have that people, those people as well. And people that you don't see, like the back of the clock, they're just as important. So if we ever feel that we're not important, let somebody important go and talk. Just remember that if you feel that you're a tiny little wheel or a spring or those screws there, without you, the hands won't be able to work and it won't be that important. And secondly, each clock or watch has got a name to it. Oh, that's the one here, I can't see that far. And some mates are more reliable than the other, aren't they? So if you were to buy a clock today and within a month it stops working, are you going to buy that same clock again? No, nobody would. So the same with us Christians. Once we get baptized, we have a name, we have a label, we have our individual names, of course, but there's one label that we have. Any idea what that is? Christians, yeah, or child of God, yeah? So we're all children of God. So I am a child of God. You are a child of God. And if you go out there, like that little boy, I wish they'd carry on with the conversation to hear what he would say. So now he's told them I'm a Christian. They expect him to behave like a child of God, to be helpful, to be kind, to be supportive. And if he doesn't behave like that, what do you think is going to happen? They'll probably think, that's not for me. Being child of God is not for me. If you're that wicked or that unhelpful, then being child of God is not that helpful. Or they might say, you know what? He's really doing nice things. Maybe I want to be child of God as well. Yeah. So, You don't have to be very important like the heads of the churches, but we are all important in God's work. So the thing to remember is that no matter how small a job or no matter how small or short line that you have to say, even to say I'm a Christian, then you just have to do it with some conviction. I am a Christian. Because no matter how small you are, we're all very important in God's work, and God is very proud of us all.